Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Live in Los Angeles on a Thursday, it's The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Nice to have you in. Thursday, we have a game tonight, don't we? Or two? Or three NFL games tonight?
We do. Let me pull up the
Patriots-Eagles. All right.
And then tomorrow we have Bengals-Washington. Chiefs, Cardinals.
All right.
And then a slate of Saturday games.
Joy Taylor joining me as well. Fourth day on the show, fourth new hairstyle. 4 days.
I actually got my hair cut yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Yes. So you always joke that I don't cut my hair ever.
You went like 13 years, you didn't cut your hair. I was like, I don't even understand.
Women don't cut their hair like because it's growing. They cut like we either like cut our hair completely off or we get it like styled. So
I get mine cut every Monday.
Yeah, that's a blessing. I think most men would feel that that's a good thing, that you have to get your hair cut.
All right.
That often.
So one of the things that's hard to do is live in the moment. You know, you're putting your money away for 401k, you're planning your kids' college, you're planning vacations. It is hard to live in the moment, just enjoy the day. I think it's been hard for me my entire life. Just enjoy the day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Let's just go out and have a fun lunch. Talk about life today. And it's hard. And because of that, I think we don't necessarily always appreciate how good things are. You know, I've told the story. My mom, my late mom, was from England. 1 year she got a orange for Christmas. That's how poor she was. And she was overjoyed with it. Small house, no money. You know, in England, they just didn't have the economy and still don't that we do. And so when I remember when Tiger Woods was just crushing it, young Tiger Woods, and people were always belly aching and comparing Tiger Woods. And I'm like, this is insane. Like, it's literally changing my viewing habits. What are we talking about here? Just enjoy it. LeBron in his prime, he was never hurt. He like played 80 games a year, like both ends of the floor. Just enjoy it. The Golden State Warriors were great. And it's the greatest offensive team I've ever seen play basketball. When KD joined Clay, Steph, Iggy, Steve Kerr, the coach, Draymond Green, as the best offensive team. Best team I've ever seen is Michael Jordan's Bulls. Second best team may be the Showtime Lakers. But offensively, it's the best team I've ever seen. It's insane. You could make an argument they had the three best shooters in the world were on the same team. What? Now, I think there's people that look at it and are like, oh, well, you know, they didn't do this and they didn't do that. I am kind of disappointed to hear Draymond Green and Kevin Durant talk about the ending in Golden State. And if you haven't heard this, I'm going to play it for you. It's about 50 seconds. You know, they got in an argument. They tried to work it out. And here's how they view it.
It wasn't an argument. It was the way that everybody, Steve Kerr, act like it didn't happen, Bob Myers, and tried to just discipline you and think that that would put the mask over everything. I really felt like that was such a big situation for us as a group. The first time we went through something like that, we had to get that all out. We met the next morning, and they said, all right, you slept on it. You ready to apologize? And I told them right then and there, I said, y'all about to f*** this up. I said, the only person that can make this right is me and Kay. And there's nothing that y'all can do, and y'all are going to f*** this up. And in my opinion, they f***ed it up.
I think so, too.
And they told me right then and there, like, we're going to suspend you for this game. I laughed in their face, literally laughed in their face.
Nobody effed it up. It was over. And you know who you should blame? Kevin Durant's Achilles heel. Folks, they won back-to-back titles. They were so good. We had to make up a team that could beat them. We went back 20 years to Jordan's Bulls because nobody could compete with them. They won back-to-back titles. They set a record for the greatest regular season team in 5-year stretch, even before KD got there. 5-year stretch. They won 3 titles. If not for Kevin Durant's Achilles heel, they win 4. If not for that Achilles and LeBron's block, they win 5. We had to make up teams that we thought could beat them. And the only one we came around on is Michael Jordan's Bulls. They won back-to-back with KD, Clay, and Steph. They were heavily favored over Toronto. And literally, we all were there. The Warriors fell apart. Clay was hurt. Steph was hurt. Iggy got hurt. And Kevin Durant got hurt. And they were still kind of competitive. Nobody thinks the Miami Heat, 4 years, 2 titles, is a failure. Kobe Shaq, 3 titles, breaks up. It's not a failure. Michael Jordan, both times. Three-peat, both times. The pressure was so much, he retired twice. Like in the modern NBA, with the shoe deals and how big stars get, you got to remember, the NBA back in the 70s, the finals were on tape delay after the 11 o'clock news. The league was dead. David Stern came in and marketed it, put the name on the back of the jersey became as big as the name on the front of the jersey. And since then, players have gotten rich and become global icons and become stars, and I am here for all of it. I think it's fantastic. It's empowered young people. But after 3 titles, this is not like the Russell Celtics where you could win 11 and just go, you can't. It's too much pressure. There's salary caps. There's too many egos. There's shoe deals, competing agents. The Warriors were done. Folks, the last year KD was there, Quinn Cook was giving you minutes off the bench. They rolled the dice on Boogie Cousins. They had no bench. Iggy couldn't stay healthy. Just think about since KD left. KD's been hurt multiple times since then. So has Steph and so has Clay. Veteran teams, if you look at the history of dynasties, they're in their prime and then they get old. That's the way it works. Nobody young, there are no young dynasties. Jordan came into the league young, couldn't win for 6-7 years. Detroit couldn't win initially. Bird couldn't win. Magic is the only guy because he inherited Kareem. And even he would go to the finals and lose. Tragic Johnson, come back and win. Then he would lose. This stuff is hard, and it explodes. A lot of self-blaming on this stuff. It was a wild success. For 5 years, they won 3 titles, and if not for the Achilles heel of Kevin Durant, certainly nobody's fault, they win 4. It's magnificent. And they dominated the West. I mean, it's just, you see how hard it is for Milwaukee. You see how hard it is for Miami. This is hard for great players. I look at this stuff. They literally set offensive records. They changed the game. People started copying the Warriors, and they didn't even have the personnel to copy them. You'd see teams without elite shooters shooting 30 threes a game, and you're like, you don't have any guys that can shoot a 3. This is nobody's fault. We got to get past that. It was going to end. Salary cap, the bench was thin, Iggy was old, Quinn Cook was playing, rolled the die. These guys have all physically fallen apart since that. This dynasty wasn't going anywhere. This was the last year of it, and they would have won, and they were favored to win, and the Achilles heels goes. Appreciate it. Michael Jordan, twice after the 3rd straight, had to shut it down for a variety of reasons. You can pick your reasons. Just shut it down. The fact that for 5 years, we got the greatest offensive team in the history of basketball, win for everybody, one Achilles heel, it would have been in the argument for the greatest 3-year team in the history of the league. It was bound to end. All right, little football topic. My wife used to work in HR. It's called human resources. So she interviewed people for a living. And she hired a lot of people for in the restaurant culinary chain business. And as I have aged in broadcasting, one of the pieces of advice she has given me is never mention retirement. Makes you sound old and tired. If you want to work less, say, you know, I want to spend more time with my family. you know, I've got other things I want to do. I got a hobby. Don't mention the R word. Because nobody wants to hire somebody who's, I can work, I can. Russell Wilson, you have to pull him off the field. Tom Brady, I'll play till I'm 45. Hubie Brown does NBA games at 80. They're trying. You couldn't pull him off the air. Vince Scully till he was 78. Aaron Rodgers admitted on a podcast this week, Dan Le Batard podcast, said this.
I felt going into the weekend before camp that I was 50-50. I don't care if people don't believe that. I mean, that's true. There were some things that got me to 50-50 for sure. And, you know, I spent a couple of days in silence and meditation and contemplation and really felt like I should come back.
No, the problem is, Aaron, I do believe you. I do believe you could bail on your teammates. He tells the host, I don't care if people don't believe me. No, we all do. Tell me in a year, because you know Green Bay is going to control where he goes. Like, he has no control on where he goes. And if Jordan Love keeps getting better, next year Aaron Rodgers' salary cap hit is $46 million. Jordan Love's is $3 million. Now, if they get rid of Aaron, they'll still have to pay about like $20 million or so. Tell me in the NFL what coach wants to invest in a star player who's 50-50. No, that's not what anybody wants to invest in. Tom Brady is the opposite of Aaron Rodgers. He takes pay cuts. You have to drag him off the field. He always suppresses his opinion. To almost a fault, he's team guy over me guy. He's the best quarterback in league history. He had four suitors. Cam Newton was an MVP. He had one at a minimum salary. Aaron's talking retirement. He's had multiple injuries. He's expensive. He calls out his team. If he's trying to grow the market, this is not the way to do it. Folks, I can just tell you, I started a little company. I'm hiring a lot of young people. Why? Because they have energy. Because they can't wait to get to work. They don't sit around and worry all day about what they make. I wouldn't even consider hiring a human being who is like, I can come to work today, not. I'm going to do some meditation to see if I can. What a turnoff. Peyton Manning had four neck surgeries. You could not keep him off the field. He was furious when he was benched. The fact that John Elway asked him to take a pay cut near the end of his career. Like, well, pay cut. Do you understand how hard football is? If I was a general manager, if I was a coach, and I'm in a division with Mahomes and Andy Reid, who's never going to retire, and Justin Herbert, and Denver's out there thinking, yeah, let's go get this guy who's 50-50. People that talk about retirement are thinking about retirement. And people that think about retirement are not all in, ever, in any industry. My wife interviewed hundreds, dozens and dozens of people. She said, anytime somebody comes in for an interview and they're older and experienced and they, you know, I'm starting to really like golf. Bail on the resume. Done. Put it in the garbage. Oh, great to meet you. I've got another employee coming in to interview in a second, potentially. I think it's a huge mistake. I think it's a huge mistake. You know, I always said one of my knocks on Aaron, he's a bailer, not a baller. He has a bizarre small number of come from behind wins. Like, doesn't make any sense. Like, Andy Dalton's got more. Matt Ryan's got more in the fourth quarter. Because if the going gets tough, my theory on Aaron has always been Aaron gets going. Like, he's a bailer. He's not a foxhole guy. When life's comfortable, Aaron's good. When Aaron has a lead, Aaron's good. But he has a scarcity. It is bizarre of come from behind wins. Like, it's a tiny number for how many years he's played. And that, to me, is the psychology, the difference between Russell Wilson. It's almost corny. He is so optimistic. We've always got a chance. Keep fighting hard. Like, that's just who he is. I love that part of him. I know it's not cool, I'm going to play forever is not cool. It's way cooler to like host a game show or play golf or go to Hollywood and hang out. I get it. But Aaron's a smart guy. That is not smart. That market is just going to shrink and shrink. If I got to go up against Mahomes and Justin Herbert and Derek Carr, I want 50-50. I'm going to do some meditation. Nah, pass. Not interested. Not remotely interested in 50-50 guy. Or 50-50 woman. Or 50-50 old broadcaster. You start talking retirement, you've already made a decision. Bosses have already made a decision. You're thinking about it. You're planning for it. Don't use the R word. Retirement or Rodgers, if you're looking for a quarterback.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So there's a certain thing about confidence you have to have, obviously, in professional sports. It's you know, anybody that's a pro anything is an amazing athlete. And, I mean, we've seen great players. Like Ben Simmons was afraid to have the ball in basketball in the playoffs. Like he literally was moving away from the ball. He's a great athlete. We've seen A-Rod have these hitting slumps. You see it a lot in baseball. We've seen great golfers, David Duval, just like number one in the world and gets what they call the yips and can't hit. Like, there's a lot of psychology. We see Simone Biles in the Olympics. Like we have to understand there is a lot. Derek Jeter, I remember hearing years and years ago, Derek Jeter said, "I don't surround myself with negative people." And, you know, I could say, oh, so you got a bunch of yes men around you. Yeah, Derek, during the season, it's hard enough to hit a baseball. I remember being in a steakhouse in Tampa, and Derek and his boys walked in one night, and Derek rolled with just fun guys, good guys, his boys. He didn't want negativity around because baseball is hard enough. It gets into your head. Tennis gets into your head. Golf gets into your head. Football gets into your head. We've seen quarterbacks early in their career that get hit and hit and hit. And we talk about this. It's the danger of playing a young quarterback in his first year. He's raw. He struggles. All of a sudden, he loses confidence in himself. So Andy Dalton, Tyrod Taylor, Teddy Bridgewater, Ryan Fitzpatrick, they have to absolutely believe they're the guy. Can't go into it thinking, I'm a bridge quarterback. So yesterday, Andy Dalton comes out and is like, this is my team. And he got crushed for it. Here's Andy Dalton yesterday.
I know who I am. I know who I was created to be. I know where my identity lies. And so do I want the fans behind me and this team and all that kind of stuff? Yes. Do I want them behind Justin? Absolutely, I do. Justin's going to have his time, and Justin's going to have a great career. But right now, it's my time, and so my focus is on being the best player I can be for this team and do everything I can to help this team win.
I support Andy Dalton here, and Tyrod Taylor, and Teddy Bridgewater, and Ryan Fitzpatrick. Remember when Ryan Fitzpatrick got replaced by Tua? And I remember on the air, I'm like, well, yeah, of course. But remember how it landed for Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I was shocked by it. You know, it definitely caught me off guard. My heart just hurt all day. Like, it was heartbreaking for me. That's the decision and the direction that the organization is going in. And obviously, you know, we've talked in the past, me and you guys, about, you know, how I'm the placeholder, and this eventually was going to happen no matter. It was just a matter of kind of when, not if.
Let me support Ryan and Tyrod Taylor and Teddy Bridgewater. To be a pro athlete, a quarterback, an alpha position, you've absolutely got to believe you can play, you can lead these men, you can lead these players, you can lead the franchise. These are all earnest, genuine, good guys. Tyrod Taylor, once again, finds himself in a spot. Looks like he's going to be the starter. He was going to be the starter for the Chargers 2 years ago, and there was a medical mishap, and then Justin Herbert got it and replaced him. And I know, like, I look at this and I think, you know, it's kind of delusional. Like, how do they? And I think, wait a minute. They've got to think that way. You have to think that way. The sport's too hard to have no confidence or to question yourself or to think the guy you're competing against is better. I mean, there's three stages for a quarterback in the NFL. When you're young and cheap, they love you. When you're in your prime and expensive, they tolerate you. The minute you show weakness, see ya. Love ya, tolerate ya, see ya. Andy Dalton, Tyrod Taylor, Teddy Bridgewater, Ryan Fitzpatrick. They have to absolutely believe this is my moment and my team. I don't think you can be a quarterback in the NFL thinking and doing it any other way. And I would still start Dalton week one against the Rams.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
People are asking me now a lot about, like, all these young quarterbacks.
Right.
And what I try to tell people is, it's not just the quarterback. What is he inheriting? So, for instance, today, the Jets have had a terrible day of practice. Denzel Mims, their big quarterback, their big wide receiver prospect, hurt all last year. He had to be carted. He's hurt again. Carl Lawson left on a carted off the field, defensive lineman. Everybody's like, Jets have had a terrible day of practice. Like, our guys are getting hurt. And so when people say, you don't like Zach Wilson, it's not that I don't like him. He's smaller than I'd like. You know, he was 19-9 in college. Could never beat the good teams he played. He was 0-2 to his rival. But here's a great example. One of the reasons I think Trey Lance is going to work is because I trust the general manager, the owner, and the coach, and the roster. It's nothing against Zach Wilson. I think Trey Lance is a bigger, stronger athlete. I think Justin Fields is a bigger, stronger athlete. So I like them more than Zach Wilson. I think Trevor Lawrence, a bigger, stronger athlete. I do think, you know, with very few exceptions, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, I like my quarterbacks to be 6'2", 6'3", see over the line. It's an easier life. Bigger arm is always better than an average arm, right? And so just to give you an example of why I've said, I think Zach Wilson, first of all, he absolutely has the fourth best coach in his division. That's not even arguable today. That's not good. He has the fourth best roster in his division. That's not good. But here's a great example of why I question Zach Wilson. So let's take arguably the four most dysfunctional franchises. Detroit, Jets, Cleveland, Chicago. They struggle with quarterbacks. Some companies just don't do certain things well. Last 25 years, the Bears, the Lions, the Jets, and Cleveland, last 25 years, have drafted 15 quarterbacks in the first round. None of them will make the Hall of Fame. Only three division titles. Only one got to a Super Bowl, Rex Grossman. In a year, he had 23 TDs and 20 picks. It was kind of a quarterback-limited team. Not a quarterback-driven team. Almost all of these guys have bombed, underachieved, had losing records. I mean, Matt Stafford is one of the most... He was the number one high school quarterback in the country, the number one college quarterback in the country. He's never won a playoff game, no division titles. Matt Stafford. That's how... So you look at this. McNown, Grossman, Trubisky, Fields, Couch, Quinn... Manziel, Baker, Brandon Whedon, Joey Harrington, Matt Stafford, Pennington, Sanchez, Darnold, Zach Wilson. Do you really believe that it's always the kid's fault? That it's always the player's fault? It's just a coincidence that these four often dysfunctional franchises, it's just crazy. They can't get the quarterback right. Really? How come Green Bay always gets the quarterback right? Oh. Maybe because they're a better run franchise? I mean, so with Zach Wilson, is fighting an absolute uphill battle. And most of those quarterbacks that you saw on that list were much more acclaimed than Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson played in a small they're independent, but they play small teams. He was 19-9. I don't believe he was even named team captain, which makes me wonder why. He couldn't beat rival Utah. They played Washington twice. Chris Peterson couldn't beat them. He couldn't beat good up. So a lot of these guys were like Heisman. I mean, look at Baker's career until he got the right coach. It was a mess. It was a disaster. And now Baker gets the right coach. So when I question your quarterback, it's not just the kid. Do I think Zach Wilson's a little small? Yeah. A little cocky. Yeah. Why didn't his teammates name him captain? Like, that's kind of a given for quarterbacks, right? Yeah. He plays a little bit like a poor man's Aaron Rodgers or a better man's Johnny Manziel. There's stuff I like, stuff I don't. But it's nothing personal. I look at the everything. I look at all the surrounding. My issue with Justin Fields is not Justin Fields. It's the Bears front office, which I don't love. They were 8-8 last year. They were bad down the stretch, and they only had a couple of draft picks. Didn't do anything in free agency. Their offensive line's kind of in a rebuild. It's not a Justin Fields issue. It's, can he overcome that organization's history with quarterbacks? And by the way, the Jets and the Packers are practicing together. You know, Zach is saying all the right things. He was talking about his admiration for Aaron Rodgers. He said, I'm a little bit of a fanboy. He's saying all the right stuff. Here he is.
James is a big fanboy. He was getting a little nervous. No, I'm a big fanboy too. We all got to kind of pretend like we've been there before. But we enjoy just being out here and being able to talk to him. We're all technically at the same level now. We're all in the NFL, but it's like we all still kind of like, you know what, that's Aaron Rodgers. You know, it's kind of crazy.
Fans often think, Colin, you just want to be right. I don't care. My paychecks are not based on right. My relationship with Joy is not relbased on right. Our chemistry doesn't matter. Right doesn't make our chemistry better. Right doesn't change my paycheck. Interesting does. I want Zach Wilson to be interesting. He's not going to be interesting at 2-15. I want him to succeed. I want all of them to. There's nothing more drecky than bad quarterback play. People say, oh, you love football. No, I love good football. I didn't watch the Texans last year. I didn't watch the Jags. There's always teams in the league. I try to watch the top 15, 20 teams in the league. I mean, you tell me by week three, you going to be watching the Texans? I think Philadelphia is going to be a bad watch. If you don't live in Philadelphia, you think networks want to put the Eagles on? Networks won't. The networks won't put the Eagles on. They know you don't want to watch. So nobody roots against these guys, but you have to consider everything. When Andrew Luck has to retire early and he can't overcome it physically at 6'4.5", 240, big, smart, tough, and he's like, I'm out. I can't do it any longer. Andrew Luck couldn't handle it. That's why I question Zach Wilson. And apparently the Jets today are falling apart physically. They've had a terrible day at practice with the Packers.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Draymond Green has a really good podcast, and he interviewed Kevin Durant. It was fascinating. And I've said this before, it creates content. I'm not going to criticize people for content. You give me good content, I'm a fan. But it does strike to something that everybody was really hot on the Brooklyn Nets last year. And I was like, hold on. Whoa. You know how, like, when they have these franchises in Hollywood, there's an arc to it. Like Batman, the super teams, right? We compare them to, like, movie trilogies, like they're franchises, like Batman or Superman. They start with comic books, so we get emotionally invested in the comic book. And then they make a movie out of it. You're like, whoo! And then they start selling merchandise. They make a franchise out of it. So there's an arc to it. You know, that's really what Kobe and Shaq were. Pippen and Jordan were. Isaiah Lambeer were. Like, they were young together, lost close together, won close, and then became like a dynasty. There's an arc to it. And so in Golden State, Draymond, Steph, and Klay, they were like a comic book, a movie. Oh, it's a franchise. Like, there's always been that arc to it. Now, increasingly, we feel like the NBA is kind of a throw it together. The Milwaukee Bucks just did that. Young together, lost together, win a title together. And I think they have a chance to win two or three titles here in the next 5 years. The Warriors did it the historic way. drafted together, grow together, lose together, suddenly good together. Oh, damn, they're great together. The Nets are the opposite, and that's why I've always had questions. The Nets are like if you threw Matrix, Lord of the Rings, Transformers, you just threw them all together, already stars, and said, make it work. Well, they've had no struggle together. So when you throw KD and Harden, and by the way, KD's had multiple divorces. Kyrie's had multiple divorces. I'm talking about basketball divorces. James Harden couldn't get along with CP3. Westbrook, Dwight Howard. It's like throwing three different movie trilogies together and go, all right, these guys played eight games together last year. It's just not the way the league historically works. There is an arc to it. There's a formula to it, just like movie franchises. You're a comic book, so people are totally in to the character. Then they make a movie. They start selling a lot of merchandise. You know, Burger King, I get my little Superman in, and then I go over there and I get my... And then they make a franchise out of it. And then maybe off that, you create another franchise. But you don't just throw Superman and Batman and this guy together and just... First year, it'd be great. Like, you... There's got to be a build. The NBA is hard. Now... Increasingly, you are seeing people throw stuff together, but I've always been reluctant on the Brooklyn thing. And as I watched the KD interview with Draymond yesterday, that was always my question on KD. Man, just be very careful on this stuff. It is hard to get great players together, and it all works because Kyrie emotionally not quite sure where he is day to day. Harden, you know, he struggled with some star teammates. KD, you know, he's had some stuff that doesn't work. Didn't kind of work in Golden State. Didn't really work in OKC. So I guess that's my point being, I've always been a doubter on the Nets thing. It just doesn't feel right. And all these guys, by the way, I'd say KD and Kyrie are great, but they're past their prime due to their injuries. Harden's probably in it, but he's never been a great playoff performer.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, when players get older and they got the bag, they got the money, and they got their health, but they can still play. You know, we've said this before. Dan Marino could probably still throw a football. Do you want to go through the practice? Do you want to deal with the travel? Do this. So it's very interesting. LeSean McCoy was on the Bucks last year. And at one point, you know, you thought he would have a bigger role, but then, you know, then they've signed Lenny Fournette, and then they got Ronald Jones. But when he did play, you're like, oh, he can still play. So he is a free agent. He's a six-time Pro Bowler. He's only 33 years old. So we increasingly see guys who take care of themselves. And good God, Adrian Peterson's still banging around the league. And LeSean McCoy, two Super Bowl rings, now joining us live. So I want to go back to last year in Tampa. So obviously I watch all the games.
Yeah.
Take me in the audience, Shady, behind the scenes. As the team was early, there was pandemic. There was no camps. There was no preseason.
Right. Yeah.
The game in Chicago, it's a mess. Everybody's screaming at each other. During all that like crisis and stuff, did you sense in week 7, 8, 9, 10, would you have predicted, no, we're going to win the Super Bowl? Or did it even surprise you a little at the end how it all came together in Tampa?
You know, what's funny about that question is that, yes, I truly believe that we will win a championship. And the big reason is Tom Brady. He talked about that. You know, he talked about how, hey, this is a new team. You know, we're bringing all these good players together, but it's ultimately new. You know, you talk about a guy that played in the system for 20 years, right? The same offense. You know, most teams, the coordinator can install the plays. Where when he's with the Patriots, he could install the plays, right? So coming here, he was a rookie all over again, a whole new offense. You know, an offense where the year before they threw for, what, 5,000 yards? Now, you know, Jameis had a lot of interceptions, but they did well offensively. And they go deep a lot, where Tom is more likes to control the game, take some short passes, take a shot up top, run the ball. So a lot different. But he talked about, hey, after the bye week, how we're going to gel. And I think a little bit that really helped out also was more just I think Coach Arians kind of gave him some a little bit more control of the offense. See, Tom Brady, man, he's so humble. He's such a great player, man. He's so humble. And there's times as a player, he's like, hey, Tom, man, you want this play? Hey, tell him. you know, his thing is more, hey, they're the coaches, I'm the player, that's how it works. I think it's more of the, you know, the Belichick, the Patriots thing over there. Yeah. So after the bye, we get changed up a little bit, and he got some of his plays, got some of his tight end involved, and some more play actions, and you know, taking shots downfield, but also, you know, managing the game, and it changed after the bye week.
That's really interesting. That's really interesting. So at the, you know, Tom's a humble guy. The coaches coach, the players play, and then Tom demanded it a little more. You know, it's you know this as well as anybody. So much of this league is chemistry, and we just think it's all talent. But in the end, New England's chemistry was really, really good. You can play right now. During the break, I said to you, I said, the Rams would be perfect for you. You wouldn't be wasting your time. It's a running back, pro running back system. Like, McVay's guys can run. It's a very good offensive line. You have a veteran quarterback. They wouldn't need 24 carries. And I just threw it out to you during the break. I said, actually, the Rams, you'd be very interesting. Is that the kind of team you would come back and play for?
For sure, for sure. I think that team, man, they're right there. I think they're a player two from going. Great defense, you know, playing the wise last year. They're very good. The best player in the NFL plays for that team, and Aaron Donald. And great, their coach well. McVay is a great coach. And also, when you add, like, Matthew Stafford there, a guy who can play with big potential, you put him in an offense where you can control it a little bit. He has a lot of strong arm strength still, I'm sorry. And he still can swing it. You got DeSean Jackson on the outside, man, with the other receivers that can do, like, more of the immediate routes and can run the routes. They got plays, bro. And I think that they really can make it happen. They got some linemen, you know, with that scheme, zone scheme they have. And I think they're right there, man. Super Bowl contender for sure.
So you play with Patrick Mahomes and Brady. We all love Mahomes. I've said this before. The league is really lucky right now. They have really good human beings who are the face of the league. Like, Mahomes is like a really good dude. When you played with him, take me behind the scenes on him, the dude. Is he serious? Is practice with him and Brady different? Like, what is he like, Patrick Mahomes, behind what I don't see?
Pat's the truth. Pat, he works extremely hard. He's very intelligent, very smart. You know, a good thing I like about him, he finds a way to interact with everybody. So from the linemen to the cool wide receivers, you know, Tyreek Hill, and you got McCole. Like, he finds a way to interact with everybody. You know, even him and Kelsey, they have a great connection. I think a lot of that is Reed with his experiences with quarterbacks, you know, teaching them different things with that. And also, I mean, Pat, like, he's always trying to simplify everything for the players. Like, I remember times where he would talk about the scramble. Like, hey, you know, there's some times where I see something, but I might want the bigger play. We might need that in the game for momentum. And we worked on that as an offense, you know, the scramble drills and things like that. So he's a young player, man, that is so mature at this age. I'm not sure if it's because his father was a professional, you know, and kind of installed that in him. But he's legit. He really is.
When you've been around the sport like you, you've played for several coaches. So Bruce Arians last year, Andy Reid. You also played, I believe, Sean McDermott a couple different times.
Yeah.
I think he's great. Take me to his leadership style, because, you know, Buffalo, it had a long stretch where they couldn't get their act together. McDermott shows up, and you could tell within a year, you're like, okay, they don't make the mistakes. Like, I don't know Sean. But when I watch them play, I'm like, they may not have a great pass rush, but they engineer the best pass rush they can with the players they have. Like, what stood out to you with McDermott? And did you know instantly, this dude is different? He's a real deal.
Well, first of all, me and Sean are good friends, because he was there when I was in Philadelphia. And he kind of was the scapegoat. We had a situation in Philly where defense wasn't playing well, but it wasn't his fault. But anyway, he takes that same attitude, right? He takes it to the Panthers, who instantly started having a great defense, getting tons of turnovers, and being very disciplined. That's his biggest thing, is being disciplined. He goes to Buffalo when I was there. And, they drafted Josh Allen, which was a big improvement, because young kid with a lot of talent for the future. They got him. They lock him in. And then Sean, he's all about the attitude. He's all about, you know, playoff caliber football, all about being accountable. You know, and he preaches that through the whole building, you know, for staff and players. And if you see his defense, man, they practice constantly on getting turnovers, being in the right position at all times. And he's changing that culture. When I got there, it was good. But when he got there, it got great. And you can see the difference in between all the players. And they have some good-time players and some big-time players, but It's more just the attitude of, and the culture of the team, and that's something that he brought there.
Yeah. So you're 33 years old. First of all, you could be a broadcaster because you're great. I mean, you recall stuff very
well. Thank you.
You're very good. A lot of guys can't recall. You're just flying through all your coaches and contacts, and you like Dave Wannstedt, who I love. Dave Wannstedt, by the way, recruited.
He's the best. That's right.
Story time with Dave Wannstedt. So for you, if I said you have a chance to – because we all know there's going to be injuries in camp with running backs. And I said to you, what can you provide? What would be a perfect situation? Carries, touches, catches, coaches, what would be perfect?
I think the first thing we gotta establish that on any team I play on, right, starter or not, you know, there won't be no drop from the running backs. I will hold my own with any player, with any backfield. I think I bring an attitude of being competitive. I'm a smart player. When I wasn't on the field, I was still helping out the young guys, you know, getting them available, getting them ready. And also for myself, that I go on there and go out there and produce, catching the ball, running the ball. I mean, hey, 7 carries, you know, 2-3 passes. I'm going to contribute. I'm going to find a way in the game to make a big momentum shift in the offense. And that's something I truly can bring, you know, in the pass game, catching and blocking. You know, and if you give me some runs, I'm going to make it happen. That's the truth. That's all I can give you is the truth.
Hey, it's great to talk to you for the first time. I admired your work. I'd love to see you land somewhere like Los Angeles. I need a running back. And it's great seeing you.
Yeah, you too. Hey, I always respected you for sure, man. You keep it real. A lot of guys don't keep it real. I would say this, you keep it 110%.
I appreciate that, LaShawn. Thanks, bud.
All right, yep, take it easy.